News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Here we are, hour two. Guess what we're going to start with? Oh, it's a history moment. What a surprise. El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And our topic today is about the career of an El Paso architect, a woman named Mabel Welch.
A woman's eye for design. Malcolm and Mabel Welch moved to El Paso for Malcolm's health in 1915. Together they started to design and build homes. But in 1925, Malcolm's health starts to fail. Mabel steps up and takes charge of their business and continues to build homes while studying architecture. Unfortunately, Malcolm would die the following year. Now a widow and a single mother, Mabel was even more determined to succeed, and in 1939 became the first female registered architect in El Paso and the second in Texas. Mabel went on to specialize in Mediterranean Spanish architecture, a style she thought particularly appropriate for El Paso's climate. She would go on to design and build more than 1,500 homes and buildings across West Texas, New Mexico, and Northern Mexico. This female architect pioneer was once asked how she accomplished all that she had. Mabel simply told them, "Things had to be done, and I managed to get them done." More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services.
Go online
to sargentinventoryservices.com.
Did you go online?
I went online, and I'm still online with the inventory services.
And there you are. But you got this alliance thing going on Facebook.
Yes. I mean, it's really great. You don't want to miss the Facebook pages for great historic pictures, stories, and so much more. The one of them is the El Paso History Alliance, managed by historian Max Grossman. Check that one out for more information. And remember, In El Paso Win, by another fantastic Facebook page manager, Barbara Gibbon Bainey.
Otherwise known as BGB.
She's a hardworking historian and archivist. So, you know, get out there and see them. There's so much to see.
And it really is cool. And the thing is that she is the owner and chief admin, Barbara Gibbon Bainey, otherwise known as BGB. The administrators are Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louis, Jim Carrollton. Moderators, more of them, Ken Weiss, Craig Hayes. She's got a cast of thousands of all these wonderfully high-paid volunteers.
Yeah.
Woo, look out for that.
Woo-hoo, wait for the bonuses.
Shall
yes.
we get back into the stuff of Sunset Heights?
I think so.
Presenting on television, you already know this because it's a three-shot. It's Bernie Sargent.
It's moi.
Where do you want to go now, Bernie?
Hey, let me tell you something about when they first started developing the Sunset Heights, when it was the referred to by the previous owner. He spent $30,000 to put in those streets. You showed the picture early on of them with the mules grading it and so on.
Yeah.
And taking down the hill where the cemetery was. $30,000. That's about $768,000 in today's money.
Wow.
And the people in El Paso thought he was a fool. Now, when he came to El Paso, he was really on his way down to Mexico, where he was going to buy some silver mines from the former governor slash mayor of Washington, D.C., who had moved down there in the 1800s, and found out that the mines that he was looking at were being salted with silver so that he would spend a whole lot of money and make that investment. Well, when he found that out, he said, "Nope, I'm done with this." Fortunately, he had an ally in the governor of Chihuahua. And Terrazas was his name.
Oh.
And he escorted him, I should say his son escorted him back up to the border. When he got to El Paso, he was astute enough because of his education experience back in New Jersey to know that there was going to be a railroad coming here. Now, this was 1880.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, it took him 9 days to get from San Antonio to El Paso by stage.
Oh, God.
The stage turned over twice in one day.
Mm.
So it was not exactly a smooth ride. It's sort of like
now.
Yeah, it's going like some of the streets in El Paso kind of remind me of that. But anyway, he gets there. He comes back. He says, "Okay, I'm just going to invest in El Paso." He does this deal with the land. In fact, most of that property was bought from the Hart family, Hart's Mill family.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he started the development. And people were scoffing, going, look at the money he's spending. He put in gas and water lines in the neighborhood. So it was the first neighborhood in El Paso to have that. Mm-hmm. And it was so conspicuous, so to speak, that the people that looked at the development there said, you know what, we could live in McGoffin's area, McGoffin Historic District area, but this looks like it's going to be more fun, nicer. Plus, it's up high.
We can look down on you people.
Yeah, it's up high, and they knew there was a propensity at that time of the river overflowing, so they decided, going to go up on the hill.
Oh, yeah.
If we're going to spend the money, that's where we're going. And by the time the Satterthwaite left El Paso, and he left because there was a stock crash, he lost a lot of money, and he went back east to try to regroup and recoup some of the funds that he had lost. By the time he left, there were over 80 homes already built in that neighborhood.
He did another thing up there. He put up in that water reservoir.
Yes.
Which
made
it tank.
All of a sudden you could then have water pressure enough for the water going down the hill and go back up a hose and hit the top of the buildings in downtown El Paso and put out a fire.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In the past, you didn't have that kind of water
pressure.
They
didn't
pressure.
Have that, no.
Oh, my goodness. Very.
Yeah, and I find it interesting. You were saying that they kind of left not in disgrace, but there was some things that came up that kind of were didn't really care for him in the end, but he did so much.
He did so much. He was a parks commissioner, the first parks commissioner in the city. He actually had the law written to tear down the old adobe building downtown that were falling apart. And, you know, downtown looked like crap. And he really had a big push. And he invested a lot of his own money to develop San Jacinto Plaza.
Ah, okay.
And he got a lot of volunteers with the Women's Club. Which
yeah, because
the women's
name. Yeah. $75 a month they had to be able to water and take care of the park.
Yeah.
Also, the name Mundy's big, M-U-N-D-Y. They have big land grants up on the Franklin Mountains.
The family still does on the west side of the mountain.
Yes, up there. Mm-hmm. But they have Mundy Street. I'm sure they live there.
Yeah, Mundy Park.
Someday we'll find out who they are.
Yeah, we'll find that out on Tuesday.
No, I knew you were going to say that. I was going to be Sunday. Okay.
Sunday.
Let's take a call here. We got a call calling here, 544-KTSM. It's Anna. I got you on the radio. Anna, what's up?
Yes. My name is Anna, and my mother grew up in Sunset Heights.
Oh, cool.
And I remember the Shanghai Grocery because we used to go there and they would deliver the groceries to the house if you needed it.
Okay.
Do you remember where it was?
Yeah, it was, I'll tell you, you know where the Sunset Grocery is right now? There on the corner where it used to be the Sunset Grocery. It was right across the street from it on Missouri. It's been knocked down, of course, but it was on the corner of Missouri and then the street that runs in front of the grocery store. I can't remember what
that street. Okay, so it was over there.
That gives me an idea. Okay,
but the Yees opened it. Yee and his wife, and
that's
they had their kids there. Yeah,
interesting.
It was nice.
Well, thank you for sharing that story. You ever live in Sunset Heights yourself?
I never lived there, but my aunt did. She lived on Lawton Street, right across the street from Vila School.
Oh, yeah.
And Maureen Velarde, who used to own Castillo de Niños, she lived two doors down.
Oh, yeah.
And I had aunts and uncles that lived on Missouri Street.
A lot of history comes out of that neighborhood. Really does.
Beautiful, yeah.
All right, well, thank you.
A lot of good memories.
Thanks for sharing your story.
Well, thank you, and you all have a good day.
See you in the streets of Sunset Heights. What?
She gets the gold star. You know, when we I love because when our people the listeners participate either on Facebook or however
they
or
save us because we don't know the answer.
They save us or they teach us, and that's the cool thing. We're all learning something new every day.
I don't claim to be an historian. I'm sort of like a moderator. I'll push history around and find people who do. Hey, there's one now, Bernie. What do you want to do next?
Speaking of,
let's talk about Abe and Emma Goldstein's home.
What's the number?
Their home, excuse me, their home is at 1415 Hawthorne.
Hawthorne, okay.
Yes, and I think that Andrew will be putting that up there.
He's got it up now.
Yeah, and I believe that Mimi Goldstein is part of that family.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's been on the radio here a few times.
Yes.
Yeah, she has. In fact, she co-wrote a book about the Smeltertown, didn't she?
Smeltertown Women.
Yeah, absolutely. Incidentally, when Satterthwaite built that tract up there, he also paved a road that went down to Smeltertown and then down to where Old Fort Bliss was to help the military traverse back and forth. But anyway, the Goldstein, Abe Goldstein was a historian and a teacher at Temple Mount Sinai. He was also a judge and a very well-known attorney here in El Paso. That's how he started his foray.
Put your list back up if you can find it.
I give it to...
Oh, Andrew's got it?
Andrew,
okay.
Yeah. We're getting back on track here.
Okay. All right, you knew another
Yeah,
house?
The next one we're going to talk about is the Seton residents, Bruce and Stella Rogers Seton. They were married in Illinois, and Bruce attended Princeton. They came to El Paso in 1906, where he became very community-oriented And he was very successful with his father at the Coffin and Seton Grain and Feed Store.
S-E-E-T-O-N?
S-E-E-T-O-N.
Isn't there something like that, named like that up at UTEP?
Seton Hall.
Yeah.
So he's very well known. Bruce was friends with the Trost and Trost family, mm-hmm. and so they kind of think that that's why the Trost and Trost designed his home.
We had a question, how many Trost buildings are there?
There's over 20. They're still standing.
In Sunset Heights, there's over 20 homes.
That are still standing.
Including his own.
Including his own, yeah. We can talk about that in a little bit. The next up, we'll talk about the Zilonka residence.
Zilonka?
Yeah, 817 West Yandel. That was constructed for
Yandel,
the rabbi.
Yandel, okay.
Yeah, yeah, for the rabbi, because he had perpetrated an incredible growth in the Jewish community. And so what they did is they built the home at a cost of $10,000, and they built that home back in the early 1900s also. He lived here for 38 years and was very influential in the Jewish community. He was also very influential in gathering all of the faiths together to celebrate together as one unified organization or Christian-believing or movement in El Paso.
Cool.
So it was very, very, very active. His efforts also got the Temple Mount Sinai built. So it was pretty neat individual there at his address.
There was a Jewish temple on Oregon Street, right?
Yes. UTEP owns it now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or Community College, no?
Yeah, Community College.
Okay.
Oh, that's right, Community College, yeah. The next one up we're going to talk about is 1522 Monday. And I'll get Andrew to put that up
there. No more date jokes.
No. That was built on a Thursday.
Oh, no, give me a break. I don't,
and that was built for S.C. McCurdy, who was General Sales Manager for Southwest Portland Cement Company. And he also was very active in the Chamber of Commerce in the community. And they were brought here initially to they called it the Engle Dam Project.
Engle.
The reason they called it Engle, E-N-G-L-E.
Oh, Engle, up in New Mexico.
Yeah. Is because it was right close to the little community of Engle.
And then the elephant got in the way.
The elephant got in the way, and what a beaut.
Yeah, indeed. Yes. And yeah. Is that Portland Cement, is that the thing just upriver from Asarco?
It is.
That's falling apart. Nobody uses that anymore.
No, it's totally abandoned. It's been abandoned for years.
Well, what a mess that place is going to be.
But they were the major supplier of cement concrete for the Southwest for many, many, many years.
I remember those guys coming through the neighborhood, and they'd yell, Toro! And they'd dump the cement. I'm not sure what that meant, but go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're going to talk about William Tooley. His house is at 1011 West Yandel. His wife's name was Hondo.
Hondo?
Yeah, they're transplants from Yokum, Texas.
Oh, sure.
And
Yokum.
They moved here in 1897. You betcha.
That's
Dwight.
Next to Nail Pop, Texas.
That's right by Dwight, yes.
Little
in
Nail
1897,
Pop.
1897, where they boarded a train right after they got married the very same day and headed to El Paso. He was initially a bank teller, but he ultimately became the vice president of the First Mortgage Company. And he served as a secretary of the El Paso Hotel Company. Who was the El Paso Hotel Company? They, along with Zach White, built the Paso del Norte Hotel.
Ah.
Okay.
Now, his son, in 1916, because of Tooley's success, became the target of a kidnapping attempt. And he had learned about the kidnapping going to take place, and he managed to get the kidnappers captured. Ultimately, they ended up in Mexico, where they did more nefarious deals down there, so they didn't get out of trouble. They just kept going. Next up is one of my favorite residences there, and that's the Henry Trost Prairie Style Residence.
Oh, yeah. They had a tour through there once.
Yeah, yeah. 1013 Yandel. He and his sister Matilda lived in that home for many years. Obviously, they designed the home, and they even designed the furnishings, which was really kind of cool. That was built for $15,000 in 1907.
Wow.
That's dates back to there. Now, I mentioned the Tooleys. The Tooleys' house was very close to the Trost house, and they shared garages, which is kind of a unique thing because Tooley had a huge garage, so they ended up sharing the garages.
We'll take a break here before we do another one.
Yeah.
Is this the whole point here?
Yeah.
Okay. Taking a break here. We're looking at all kinds of houses in Sunset Heights. We've got them up on the Facebook page. You want to take a look at that. And don't forget, this Facebook feed will be permanently on that page.
That's right.
So be careful what you say, Melissa.
Yeah.
Ah, you'll be permanent on the page.
No, I'm not permanent.
But the deal is it archives there as we're going. When the show's over, there it is. It sits there stuck forever until Facebook gets mad. And so far, they like us.
Yeah.
They haven't got mad at us. Anyway, calling us up if you wish to, and put a comment on the page.
Yeah, you can comment. We got a lot of people, which we'll talk about later, that are commenting. And so if you want to give us a call, 915-544-5876 or 915-544-5877.
KTSM.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
Newsmax TV. Everyone is watching it now. Get the real news on President Trump on Newsmax. More than 30 million Americans tune into Newsmax TV with great shows and analysts like Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, and a lot more. Every night you can watch Newsmax's number one show, Greg Kelly Reports. Greg Kelly and Newsmax tell the big news you need to know, how big tech is censoring you, and Joe Biden's dangerous plans. You need to watch Newsmax TV. Get Newsmax on all major cable systems or check your guide. If you don't get Newsmax, call your cable operator. Tell them you want Newsmax. And remember, Newsmax is free on Roku, YouTube, Apple TV, Zumo, TiVo Plus, Pluto, Chromecast, and most smart TVs like Samsung and LG. And don't forget to download the free Newsmax TV app. All other cable news channels ask you to pay, but Newsmax's app is free. So start watching anytime, anywhere in the world.
You know where you were when the Golden State Killer was arrested. You're a moderator on the Zodiac Killer subreddit. But now you're in search of a new challenge. Enter Solve, the hit podcast that puts you at the center of the investigation. Solve is like no other murder mystery podcast. You'll track down killers hiding in plain sight.
You all right?
Yeah, it's just disturbing. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Not like this.
To listen to Solve, download the free iHeartRadio app or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Newsmax TV is the biggest thing on cable news, with shows including Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, and more. Every night, watch Newsmax's number one show, Greg Kelly Reports. Greg Kelly tells you the big stories you won't hear anywhere else. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Check your guide or tell your operator you want Newsmax. 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV. And download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. It's free, so get Newsmax TV anytime, anywhere.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, we had an answer on that one thing. El Paso Schools for Girls, 111 to 1115 Terrace Street. Approached it on Rio Grande or Los Angeles. That's where the El Paso Schools for Girls was. Hey, I don't know. I didn't go there.
And it moved in 1917.
And they didn't have a letter on the mountain either.
No.
Got you there. Okay, who's coming?
Try to get that mountain in those long skirts.
Got to tell you who's coming in the next couple of weeks. Been lining up some interesting stuff. Next week, we have an author named Bob Parmalee. His new book is called A Bridge Apart, and it's about a Mexican Revolution-era robbery in El Paso and life on the border with Prohibition. The guy writes very descriptive terms. He was going through a Mexican Revolution house-to-house combat. I could smell the gunpowder. I mean, it was weird the way this guy writes. It's very descriptive. Anyway, Bridge Apart reveals a true story made possible by the revelation of a 50-year-old secret concerning the love story of two high school sweethearts. They went to El Paso High. So all this stuff is set in real time, in real terms, and he comes along and embellishes it. So I guess you call it an historic novel, but it's a love story turned upside down by border violence during the Prohibition Depression, ultimately involving the highest levels in the Mexican-American governments. The vivid description of the fighting in Juarez puts you there almost in person. And the second hour, you and I are going to sit here and talk about the many Mexican Revolution sites in downtown El Paso. There's a bunch of them.
A bunch.
On January 30th, we got military historian John Hamilton coming in. He's going to describe some of the many military people who have lived and worked in El Paso area over the centuries. A lot of people. What do you got?
Okay, well, we've got February 6 shows coming up, and the first hour topic will be the history of the crypto Jew. A lot of people don't know about that. It is about the Jewish Spaniards who came to Mexico from Spain as new converts to Catholicism, but who secretly remained faithful to and practiced Judaism while publicly professing to be of another faith. Excuse me, El Paso Rabbi Stephen Leon, who's had helped 70 families return to their Jewish heritage over the years, has written a book on the subject. And then second hour, we're going to be talking about with honorary Spanish counsel Martha Vera, who will explain how many people of Hispanic heritage who came to El Paso or what is centuries ago settled in this part of North America are descendants and of hundreds of thousands of Sephardic Jews who were tortured, forcibly converted, or burned alive at the stake, and ultimately expelled from Spain and then later Portugal and then off to the U.S.
They didn't get here if they were burned alive at the stake.
No. No, that was a real tough time. That was the Inquisition.
But you got one more down there.
Yes. Oh, I forgot about that one, too. Oh, my gosh, can't. Sue Taylor. Oh, she's got a great topic. She's a curator at the New Mexico Museum of Space History, and she's going to explain with her program she's been doing about the families of Operation Paperclip. You know, we always talk about the scientists and everything, but these are the families and the children that came with their husbands to the United States from Germany and how they dealt with, you know, living in a new country like this. And Sue will also share stories about space race women, the scientists, computers, and astronaut wives.
A lot of people in the background working on the space race.
Oh, yeah.
And at the Space Museum in New Mexico, I mean, that's kind of like an American museum, so to speak, because they put it there because that's where a lot of that stuff happened.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But, I mean, we get the history. Operation Paperclip was here at Fort Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys took a bus every day out there to go to work in White Sands. And so that's definitely El Paso
history. Then it moved up to northern New Mexico to...
No, it went to Huntsville, Alabama.
No. Part of it went to northern New Mexico.
Los Alamos?
Yeah, Los Alamos. That's what it was.
Okay.
Part of them went there, and then some went down south.
So. All right. What do we got here, Bernie? You want to pick up another Sunset Heights event?
Yeah, let's go to 1205 North El Paso Street.
Ooh, let's do it.
What's there? A gentleman by the name of Douglas Gray. He moved there 1904-1905 time frame. He was very active with smelters. He actually had come from Arizona Territory, so they had a vested interest in the Asarco smelter here. And he was orchestrating the ore traveling back and forth. He ultimately moved back to Arizona and headed up the operation over in Arizona. But yeah, that was Douglas Gray. Kind of a neat-looking building with the columns in the front. It's now an apartment. They've subdivided it and made an apartment out of it.
Did so many buildings like that, the old buildings, but they had so much room in them, you know?
Yeah. And on that 525 Corto Way, that's a very popular location. That's the Kohlberg Mansion.
Ah, yes.
And if you've never had a chance to see the inside of it,
amazing.
It's spectacular.
Oh, my God.
You know, Doug Yost, when he lived there, he and his wife.
Is he still there?
No. No, they sold that property, but they developed a garage behind them, which is pretty unique. It's pretty cool.
Oh, they live in the garage?
They live in the garage, yeah.
The carriage house.
The carriage house, yeah.
Okay.
It's really, really
that
nice.
That sounds better.
Yeah, I like
that. He doesn't live in the garage.
Yeah, one big
open front door. Oh, it's cold in the house. Okay, go ahead.
Six Guns and Shady Ladies. We did a murder mystery there years ago.
Yeah,
that was
did. Blessed.
But it is a beautiful house.
Oh, yeah, I've been in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they had it on tour back in the day.
They did have it on the tour, yes. And it was fantastic. They may do it again. I'm not sure. But it's the way it's been built and the whole bit. George immigrated here back in the late 1800s, 1875, at the age of 18. And he worked for Solomon Schutz at his wholesale store downtown. But he was an enterprising young guy, and as soon as he finished his obligation to the Schutz family, he went into Mexico thinking he was going to invest in gold mines. Didn't do too good on that.
Another one of those.
Oops. Another one of those, yeah.
How about the diamond mine over there in New Mexico? Same problem.
That's the one I lost on, and also bought the lottery ticket there, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Tell where I'm at.
Okay.
But he came back to the States, and in 1881 moved up to San Francisco. And up there, he learned the cigar trade. And came back to El Paso and opened up a cigar store.
Where do you get the tobacco? Any idea?
They had it imported. They had it brought in.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't grow around here.
No. He and his brother Moritz had developed or started the La Internacional Company down here. And it was the largest one in the Southwest. They did mainly cigars, but they also had cigarettes.
Did they make the little Indians out of wood and put them in the front?
Oh, cigar Indians.
Cigar Indians? I don't know. Interesting to see an old picture of that cigar store.
Could be. Are we done on that one there?
No, we're not done yet.
No, we got. I know you got more, but I could take a break here at some point.
Oh, take a break.
Take a break here. Okay, we're going to take a break here because Andrew told me to. And
yes.
Again, thanks to Andrew Polk there running the store in the
Oh my gosh, thank you. Yeah.
What do you got?
I was just going to say, check out our Facebook page. You can watch us live, or just be, you know, if you can't, you're still online.
You can do one of these at the camera.
That's right. You can wave at us. send us questions.
Two fingers total.
Is that okay? Wait.
No, don't try it. Don't find out. Okay, taking a break. I'll throw the phone number at him.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
When it comes to your business, there's a lot of things you know and a few things you want to learn more about fast. If you're looking for an easy and affordable way to get smarter about what your customers are thinking, you need to check out Research Raccoon. Just tell the Research Raccoons whatever your business question is. Maybe it's about a new menu item for a restaurant. Maybe it's finding out what your audience really thinks about your business name. Maybe you don't even know what questions you're supposed to be asking. Let the Research Raccoons know what's on your mind, and they'll poll potential U.S.-based customers that day, giving you clean data you can use to make smarter business decisions for less than you'd think. No matter the size of your business, Research Raccoon gives you the tools to learn at an affordable price. So discover what your business should be doing and move with confidence with Research Raccoon. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. ResearchRaccoon.com. Fast results with big data.
The Sentinel Group sponsors this paid advertisement for legal services and is responsible for legal services. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-399-5446.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-399-5446. 800-399-5446. That's 800-399-5446.
Newsmax TV is the biggest thing on cable news, with shows including Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, and more. Every night, watch Newsmax's number one show, Greg Kelly Reports. Greg Kelly tells you the big stories you won't hear anywhere else. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Check your guide or tell your operator you want Newsmax. 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV. And download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. It's free, so get Newsmax TV anytime, anywhere.
Guys, you know that new Untucked shirt you've been eyeing? Well, you can save on your favorite styles with the new winter clearance event going on right now at Untucked's 80 plus stores and Untucked.com. Untucked shirts were designed to be worn untucked. They fall at that just right length so you can feel comfortable and look sharp. Save on our top button downs, including wrinkle free, performance, flannels, and more. Perfect for right now. So don't wait. Save on your favorite styles on clearance today at your nearest Untucked store or at Untucked.com.
News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Melissa Sargent, are you ready for This Week Only in El Paso, Inc.?
Yes, I woke up. See the top 10 bars with the most sales in 2020 and explore how the pandemic impacted local establishments.
Also in the Inc., will concert shows come back in 2021? Why El Paso venue directors see a trickle of hope.
An update on the city's COVID situation from the chief executive of the city's largest health network.
El Paso's Business Journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
The nation's capital under siege. U.S. lawmakers believe President Trump incited rioters to storm the nation's Capitol building. That siege led to the second impeachment of Donald Trump, but one NMSU professor believes an anti-fascist group was part of the movement. Not all the evidence is coming in on the elections either. So it should be heard by the courts. And he also says Trump supporters are being silenced. Well, that's what's going on up on this week, right?
You got it. ABC 7 Extra Sunday host Saul Sines talks to Professor David Clements about his claims, and an El Paso blogger joins the conversation to question those claims. This should result in a lively discussion you won't want to miss, that's for sure.
Be blood on the floor.
Yeah. Join ABC 7 Extra host Saul Sines on Sunday nights after ABC 7 News at 10.
All right, we got calls coming in. Bernie Sargent is sitting here doing stuff. We got a call here from a guy named Cito Negron. Hey, Cito, good morning. How's it going?
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing?
Fine, good morning.
Morning, Cito.
What's up?
Well, I was just calling in to thank you for highlighting Sunset Heights on your show.
Oh, sure.
And talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, if I could throw something out there, Cito, you were pretty much involved with the thought process of widening I-10. How do you think that's going to impact this historic district?
Oh, wow. Well, first let me give you a little, bit of background. I'm the president of the Neighborhood Association, so and also happen to I have worked for the previous state senator, just retired Jose Rodriguez, and so in both of those capacities, I was able to track the TxDOT proposal from, you know, when it began to about a year ago when it kind of went very quiet. So the idea basically is to add a lane in each direction from about Executive to Copia, and probably one of the biggest pieces of it to add frontage roads. So what you have now is like on Missouri, for example, just north of I-10 between Copia in downtown. It's really a city street. It functions that way. It has right turns. It has lights, stoplights. So you could imagine what's there now looking more like what's in front of Cielo Vista or something like that. That's what a frontage road is. There's very few right turns off of it. It's meant to keep traffic speeding along almost at freeway speeds. And that's the basic concept. And there's one other very important piece, which is reconfiguring the ramps on and off ramps on either side of downtown. So, you know, some of those would be elevated ramps, which would change the look of downtown as well as looking north towards the neighborhoods as you approach downtown from either direction. So all in all, not a great proposal from our perspective, because it would bring it would require taking at last map we saw would require taking property north of I-10 from downtown to about Piedras. And then for Sunset Heights, as the highway comes around Sunset Heights, we now have a frontage road much closer to the historic homes there, bringing more pollution, noise, vibration.
So, Cito, they're going to take a block of space that currently has houses and take that, turn it into the frontage road?
Yeah, at the last proposal we saw, now they've assured us that those are just the opening proposals, and so there's always the chance and hope that the proposal would be better. But fundamentally, we haven't been able to see how it wouldn't. First of all, if they widen the highway and create frontage road, we can't see how they would do it within the existing right of way and not have to take property. And we also just, you know, that changes the street grid. It changes the pattern of the drivers in those neighborhoods, and it. Just as the freeway did when it first came through, it lessens the property values, and it really damages the historic whole.
Sure, but
the form and shape of it.
Are these same geniuses going to deal with the mountain when they get up toward Executive? They're going to have to cut through that mountain of Utah. What's the point there? You can't do that.
Well, over there, they may not need extra right of way in order to. Well, you know, you're right. How are you going to get this road on the side?
There's no way to. This is stupid.
There's a lot we haven't seen, but I think the major and you're right. There's some very significant engineering challenges and also with drainage issues. There is one piece of it that we agree with, which is, you know, their concern that the roadway itself needs to be reconstructed as it passes through downtown. We certainly don't want the highway to fail, you know, without having a relief route. And there is actually a relief route on the books, which is the Northeast Borderland Expressway, which would come off of, you would access it either through US 54 or come off of Loop 375 and go through the Anthony Gap.
Yeah. Well.
And our concern is that the highway project downtown is so expensive that that would eat up all the available funding. And this bypass route that's been talked about for, I learned from you, it's been talked about for like about 30 years now.
Yeah.
And it's very close, that the planning is pretty much done on it. It should be ready to go. Our concern is that all the money designated for El Paso would go downtown and we wouldn't be able to get that bypass route.
Cito, let's do this. Cut to the chase here. We've got to get back to the houses that we're talking about. But can somebody go on a website and find out what you're talking about and take a look at it?
Well, you could go to the Sunset Heights Neighborhood Improvement Association's Facebook page.
There you go. Okay.
We've been tracking this project for about more than 2 years. And so as developments have come up, you can scroll through the comments and you'll see links to the different things. And then just Google search Downtown 10 El Paso, and TxDOT also has a website.
What you pointed out is a very big historic slice of Sunset Heights leaving if this goes through. That's, I think, the point I got here.
Well, it's being impacted. It's bringing this highway. It's changing the aesthetics. It's diminishing the historical look and feel of it. But it's also bringing the noise and vibration and pollution from high-speed traffic closer into the homes. And particularly, you know, there's some Sunset's divided a little bit. There's upper and lower Sunset, and the closer you get to the highway, the less valuable the property
becomes. Oh, I see.
Yeah, it does impact the
property. So you have that effect all through Central El Paso.
Well, Cito, can you do us a favor?
Diminished property values, more pollution, impacting people, especially low-income who happen to live there.
Cito,
it's a very negative impact.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Cito, I don't know whether you heard about Durangito, but we managed to keep Durangito in the historic district, and I know that you worked very close with the senator on that project.
We have, and I appreciate the work of everybody involved.
Yeah.
That's great news. That's what needed to happen. There was no reason for it not to happen. The city's argument there is, as you probably laid out
kinda
in detail,
weak.
Is...
Oh, we're going to hear the reasons.
do us a favor, Cito. Keep us updated on this, would you?
I very much will. I appreciate you letting me talk about it. And, there's a lot of work to do on multiple fronts to really restore the historic form and function of our central El Paso.
Well, the bottom line here, Cito, is that we should be known for our history and not for our freeways and arenas, because the freeways and arenas are everywhere. We are the only ones with this authentic Old West and downtown El Paso underground history. I think that's the point that we should make.
So. I totally, and I would add to that also the culture of, like, around Lincoln Center, murals in Lincoln Park, the Lincoln Center itself.
Another one.
El Paso, we're really blessed with a very rich history that also is very close to the surface. I mean, people, we've had European settlement here for 400 years, as you all
simply
demonstrate regularly. But as far as the urban history of El Paso, it's only a little bit more than 100 years old, about 150 years old. So unlike, say, New York, where so much is buried under archaeological layer after layer, our history is still here right in front of us.
And
what an opportunity.
It looks like Durangito may stand. We'll see how long it's going to stand. So far, so good. We got to run here, but Cito, thank you for ringing up, dude.
Hey, thank you guys for your show and for everything.
Thanks,
indeed.
Cito.
Thank you, Cito. Take care.
You take her easy. We got Andrew, what's this on number two? 1119 Los Angeles, a question about the building. On line one has got that. Mike, what's that all about, the Los Angeles address? 837 Yandell. Mike Medrano.
What? Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can talk to you.
Oh, hey, I apologize. Hey, well, my understanding is that there are only 10 Trost homes up in the Sunset Heights area. And if that's the case, I think we live in the Rabbi Zelensky's house. And I'd love to hear some more information on that.
You got that one?
Yeah, I think we talked about it a little while ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure we have any more info, but it's certainly something to take a look at.
I have some more on my computer at home. I didn't bring it all with me. But tell you what, if is this a phone number that I can text?
It is.
Okay, right. I'll get it from Andrew.
We'll put you on hold, and Andrew will get the phone number.
Oh, we'll get that from you. Then we can text you some information.
Mike, thanks for calling.
Thank you, guys.
Hold on.
Appreciate it.
All right, hold on there. Very good. We got to take another break here. What do you got?
Real quick, I just want to mention that KTSM has put up these Historic Landmark Commission supports downtown historic district, including Durangito. Yeah.
KTSM Television?
KTSM.com. So that's
TV. Yeah.
I was getting the two.
Radio should have gotten that website, but Pearson was quick and gave it to TV.
That's okay.
Well, the radio was first. I mean, but we're KTSMradio.com. Enough of this. We got to take a break. Andrew, you ready for a break here? We'll do that and come back. Call us if you need to.
915-584-4. I have too many numbers.
3, 2, 1, go.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
When questions find you, Merrill Edge Self-Directed Investing has personalized tools and insights to help you find answers. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/withinreach. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, registered broker-dealer, member SIPC.
Need a good laugh? Then stop everything and check out the funniest new podcast of the year. I'm talking about This Is Important, the podcast featuring the comic geniuses from the hit TV show Workaholics. Hear Adam Devine, Anders Holm, Blake Anderson, and Kyle Nowicek probe today's most important topics, like cuisine.
Are you eating sushi off of people?
Yes.
You can't do that right now.
They're sanitized. This is hard-hitting stuff. This is important. Listen to This Is Important on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wonderful product. I've lost 111 pounds using that product. 111 pounds. You could not believe the difference. I went from a size 48 pant to a 33 pant, and I've maintained that now for over almost a year now. Yeah, absolutely. Andro 400 has helped me lose 111 pounds, and I've maintained my weight for almost a year now.
Thanks, James, for that inspiring testimony and 111 good reasons to choose Andro 400, the most effective and natural way to lose belly fat, increase libido, gain energy, strength, and muscle while safely boosting your testosterone levels. So, guys, how many reasons do you need for trying Andro 400? Well, here are two more great reasons. Order now and get free shipping plus an additional $6 off when you use the code SAVE6. That's SAVE6. Call 888-400-0435, 888-400-0435, or go to andro400.com, andro400.com.
Would you get on an airplane if you knew it had a 50% chance of crashing? You may be riding that plane right now. If you have your money in a 401k or IRA and you plan to take out the recommended percentage each year when you retire, your chance of running out of money is 50%. 50%. But there's a better and safer way to secure your income in retirement. Discover how in a free book called Rescue Your Retirement. This wealth building strategy has never had a losing year in more than a century. In fact, even the man who invented the 401k now prefers this method instead. Get Rescue Your Retirement free for just a small shipping charge and enjoy a safe landing and a comfortable retirement. Get this free book and make sure you don't run out of money. Hurry, this offer is extremely limited. To get your free copy, just go to growwealthsafely.com. That's growwealthsafely.com to discover how to rescue your retirement. Growwealthsafely.com.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're about out of here, but we got to get to the Turtle House in a minute, but sure we do that. Just to let you know, we had a question off air, 1119 Los Angeles Street, a question about the building. We don't have everything that's going on there, but Bernie's going to look that one up.
Yeah, I think I have that at home, but I didn't bring that with me.
And we'll post it on the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page in an album of all this stuff.
Yeah, what I'll do is I've got all kinds of newspaper clippings. We'll just make one giant entry, and we'll just put it on the Facebook.
You got something you got to read?
I would have mentioned definitely. We have the Friends Alliance Awards, the historic the historic sites friends groups dedicated to supporting the Texas Historical Commission's state historic sites, or individual volunteers who've gone above and beyond in supporting a site may be nominated for a Friends Alliance Award.
You ready for a drum roll?
Na-na-na-na-na. The Friends of THC is pleased to announce the 2021 Friends Alliance Award winner, and that is Sharon Cowell. Congratulations. Yay. She's worked with the Casa McGoffin Compañeros for years and years and years, has helped at Concordia Cemetery. Mm-hmm. She's played Mrs. Stevenson, and you name it. She's done. She's been a wonderful historian.
She's been anything you need down there. She's a reenactor. She's good
hard
people.
Worker, yes.
Very good people. Octavia.
Amy.
All right, drum roll now for Turtle House.
Yeah, this is at 516 Corto Way. The Turtle House Apartments, as they're known now, was built many, many years ago, nearly 1900s. Rumor has it that there was a lot of smuggling going on there after the Chinese Exclusionary Act of 1882. People have said that if you go into the basement, they have a tunnel that's now blocked off so you can't enter it, and it goes under the river and over into Mexico.
I don't think so.
But when you talk to the people that know a lot about construction, a lot about
geology,
ebb and flow of the river, geology, all of that, they'll disagree with you because it just doesn't make sense that it would go there with the soil structures that we have underground.
Well, the Turtle House has got an alley, and the alley, they thought maybe went down the alley.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've got on the side of the house, you'll see a turtle, and that's indicative of something of this nature. Now, if you talk to people like Doug Yost and others who, their expertise is structural engineering and so on, what Doug has said, and I tend to believe it, that this tunnel was part of a sewer system, so to speak, water drainage. Whenever they had heavy rain up on the hill there in Sunset Heights, the water would drain down into a series of tunnels and then back down to the river.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, makes a little bit more sense.
The picture up now I've seen over here is Doug Yost himself
standing
next to the turtle.
Yeah.
Now, apparently there's another house just like that in Juarez somewhere.
That's the rumor. I have not ever seen it.
Corresponding, I'm not sure what
that's. Which would have made a mark, a good, you know, you go to this house, this first turtle house, the second turtle house, and wherever, kind of like what they used to do with the Underground Railroad.
Yeah, it could have been that kind of thing. Yeah.
I bet they were smuggling turtles.
But that's right. Yeah,
but it wasn't literally underground.
No.
But in this case, Doug and I got in the basement up there. I've got some pictures
that
are coming up. They're up there now. And there's Doug. And see, you can see cinder block is blocking off what used to be an exit to the building.
Yeah.
Or an entrance to the building,
mm-hmm.
and that's about 12 feet down, and that's under the, it would go into that alleyway.
Yeah.
So we got in there one day, and that's what we found out, but I'm not sure what to do with
all
that.
The newspaper clippings that I found for that particular address for that building just reference apartments. It doesn't reference anything about
turtles
or smuggling or the basement.
And think about Prohibition. You know, during Prohibition, people were hiding stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
In that same era, Poncho was sticking guns in places.
Oh, gosh, yeah. So, I mean, you know.
So it could very well
have been
any
of
those things.
Could have been anything and all above, you know.
Yeah. But if anybody has more information, concrete information, let us know.
But you can go down that alley and see the turtle in brick on the side of the building.
It's
like we had
neat.
The picture up here.
Pretty neat.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And why would you do that?
I don't know.
The Orientals do a lot of, what am I looking for, symbolic symbolism. And on their houses,
symbolic
letters.
Symbolism.
Yes. Yeah, so symbol. Does that make sense?
No,
it doesn't.
Just as a matter of fact,
symbolism.
A product of the California school systems.
Hey, I know what the definite. I just keep adding it on. No. And the Chinese are very much involved in this kind of thing. You can go to their houses, you'll see all kinds of symbolism all over. So maybe that's
Chinese,
part of it.
We should get a Chinese guy and ask him.
Well, turtle. I have to look that up. What is significant?
It has
Chinese?
Nothing to do with
the
soup.
Speaker of the house. No.
Yeah.
Turtle soup.
But you know, and then the Chinese were referred to as celestials back in the day too,
because
they did, you know, they did celebrate the different celestial bodies and so on. They used a lot of insignias and logos and signs of the time and so on.
But we don't know that was Chinese house or not.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
It's an interesting thing. So there it is. All right, we got about a minute and a half left. You want to hit another one, or you want to wrap up another Durangito thought?
I want to applaud everybody that got involved with the saving of Durangito. I'm just so proud of these people.
Saved so far. Now back up. The county is establishing an historic district. The city tried to do it, and then somebody in the city said, "We're backing out of it."
Yeah.
So then the county picked it up.
Correct.
And what the county has done, they did a survey with architects.
They hired
and went through all 1,000 buildings in downtown El Paso. And finally, Segunda Barrio, all the way to Union Station, right?
Right.
Are going to be put in one historic district.
Yes.
The city objected to the 12 or so buildings that were standing.
It's like a two-block or three-block area down there.
And that's the exact place where they had been plotting to put the arena all along without telling us when the bond hit.
This is correct.
And so when the bond hit, they said, "Oh, by the way, we're putting it there." And I said, "Wow, wait a minute. I wouldn't have voted for it if that's what you're telling me.
No, I wouldn't have either.
But now that they've got it all done, they still wanted it there. So it went before the Texas Historical Commission. The city objected, and the county said, "No, we want everything in the downtown area, including those buildings, put in the historic district." And that's what prevailed this morning in a vote in Austin, Texas.
That is correct.
Okay, that's why I'll make sure we got that 100%
right. 100% vote in favor of keeping it in there.
Okay, God bless them.
Turtle trivia. The shell of a turtle represented the heavens, and the flat bottom represented the earth for these people. The Chinese view of these creatures as more just a symbolism. It's more of heaven and earth, but also symbols of wisdom, endurance, wealth, and long life.
More symbolic symbolism, don't you think? We got to get out of here. Bernie Sargent, thanks for coming in, bringing in the historic districts here. We'll talk to you again about something in the future, maybe some trails, maybe some...
Trails and forts.
Forts and things that went on in the old history of El Paso. You're coming back next week.
Yes, I am.
Next week, we're going to have all kinds of history. That book of, and you and I will do on the second hour.
Yes.
We'll do the historic sites of Mexican Revolution.
Really cool.
And there's a bunch of them.
Oh, I know.
I mean, historic Mexican Revolution was planned and funded and gunned, shall we say, in downtown El Paso. And people don't really know that.
No.
Oh, what
a convenient place right across the river.
We have a convenience store for guns.
Well, we had a nice video that you worked with.
That's what we did. Leon. We put Leon on it. Yeah. We may hear from him next week. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, everybody. It's been fun. We'll see you on Facebook and right here next week.
That's right.
El Paso History Radio Show for the audio version of these radio shows.
That's right. Hasta semana.
See you then. And Andrew, thank you in the control room, dude.
Thank you.
Appreciate your help. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.